Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. As we move further and further from the season, plenty of stuff to talk about with the Phils for sure, as Rob Thompson, Dave Dombrowski have their press conferences on Thursday. And, you know, Dave Dombrowski sat up there for almost an hour and basically laid out the entire funeral of the 2025 Phillies and what went wrong, what he expects going into the offseason, and some of the questions and concerns regarding the roster as well as the staff in the dugout as well. So we'll get into everything Dave said. You know, Dave said a lot more than what Rob Thompson had to say. Obviously, the big news with Rob is that he will be back for the 2026 season. Not much changes to the staff whatsoever. Kevin Long back, obviously Caleb Cotham back, and there is a new change in a coaching role, which we will get into a little bit here. And but that was basically what went on yesterday. Both of them probably sat up there for a combined hour and a half. And you know, I left it feeling a lot different than last year. Last year, after the Mets series and after what was pretty much a feeble effort through four games of that National League Division Series against a team where, you know, give the Mets credit. They beat the Phillies and they're much better than the Phillies in that series and deserve to win. But you leave this National League Division Series thinking to yourself, they didn't get outplayed by that much, by a really, really, really talented team. And you see it now with them being up 3-0 on the Milwaukee Brewers, speaking about the Dodgers. And it's just a shame because it does feel like if things would have shaken out differently in terms of maybe the, you know, layout of the playoffs, and if the Phillies had not gotten the Dodgers division series, what would have happened? You know, I think we could be having a totally different discussion right now. But that's sort of the sentiment that they got up to the podium and spoke about yesterday, which I don't know if I necessarily disagree with, which I'm saying I don't disagree with that right now, because I do believe the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. They're going to win the World Series again, and that they presented a brutal, brutal matchup for whoever is going to face off against them. I mean, you have guys like Sasaki and Glass now coming out of the bullpen, in addition to throwing Yamamoto, Snell, and Shohei Ohtani out there. Like, that is one of the great pitching staffs that we'll be able to talk about for years to come in terms of the postseason. But I don't know if that's exactly the messaging that fans wanted to hear with the two of them going up there yesterday, but it was the messaging they gave us. And I am admittedly getting a bit tired after, I would say, three disappointing postseason exits in a row of the, you know, we were this close, we played the wrong team. And again, even though they might not be wrong, I wanted them to be a little bit more upset about it. And I understand that when you're a GM and when you're president of baseball operations, when you're the manager, whatever your title may be within an organization like that, you have to get up there and you can't necessarily sound defeated and you can't sound like you're, you know, throwing in the towel here. And they still have a great roster, and I know they have a lot of free agents, but next year, the reality of the situation is they're probably going to be a good team again. They're probably going to be competing for the NL East, and there's a chance that they could be a World Series contender again. But I think that the difference, and I hate to compare them to the Eagles sometimes, but when you look at the Eagles and when you look at Howie Roseman specifically, he is the type of guy to where when the Eagles have a massive failure, like in 2023, and it doesn't come around often, like the COVID season, you can see that Howie Roseman and even Jeffrey Lurie, like they wear it. Like they don't stand for that type of stuff to happen. And they don't accept defeat. They don't accept loss as well. And I think that Dave Dombrowski can almost be a little too cool sometimes and a little too, you know, suave with his words. And when he gets up there and says that, you know, I thought we competed hard. I thought that we played a really good team and that we got beat by a really good team. I don't think that's the thing the fans want to hear. And I can understand it from both sides. So I think that was sort of where the ire came from the press conference yesterday. And, you know, I didn't feel as strongly about it, honestly, as a lot of other people did. Like, there were people that were outraged saying that, you know, they basically have, you know, not thrown in the towel, but given up, saying that, you know, the Dodgers were clearly a superior team and that, you know, they should blow the whole thing up and they shouldn't bring any of these free agents back, get rid of Schwarber, get rid of JT, everything like that. But I didn't feel necessarily that way. But there were some takeaways that I definitely had from the press conference, and going to get into those now. Just going to get into, you know, postseason a little bit as well, especially with the way the Dodgers are just absolutely dominating the Milwaukee Brewers right now, up 3-0. And boy, the Milwaukee Brewers have scored 3 runs in 3 games, and it just goes to show you how dominant that Dodgers pitching staff is right now. But we'll get into that a little bit. Also want to get into some early names to watch in terms of free agency and this offseason and what could potentially be the plan from here on out. Because as of right now, Kyle Schwarber is not a Philly. JT Realmuto is not a Philly. Ranger Suarez, not a Philly. You know, Harrison Bader probably not picking up that mutual option. So there's a lot of question marks as we head to the fall and the winter here. So let's get into the press conferences a little bit more. You know, just talked about some of the key points that they brought up in the beginning, but the thing that stood out the most to me about Dave's press conference yesterday was what he had to say regarding Bryce Harper. And yesterday was Bryce Harper's 33rd birthday. He isn't getting any younger. He is now more than halfway through his 13-year contract with the Phillies. And it's been successful. Like, don't get me wrong. I think that Bryce Harper is a guy who we're going to look at as one of the pillars of this franchise when he retires one day, and is somebody who brought life back to baseball in Philadelphia and has ultimately been somebody who, he's been a great Philly, and he's going to go to the Hall of Fame as a Philly wearing a Phillies cap, and I'm happy he's on the baseball team. But he didn't have the Bryce Harper typical year that we expect. And I mean, he still didn't have a terrible year by typical, like by normal standards. He was 11th in OPS in the National League, obviously missed some games with the wrist. And by the way, Dave Dombrowski, when asked yesterday about the wrist, said Bryce is completely healthy going into the offseason. It did not hamper him down the stretch. And I got the sense that he was a bit frustrated with Bryce in a way. And I wasn't expecting to hear that, because he was asked about if Bryce can get back to the level that he once was at. And that's obviously being an MVP candidate. That's being a top 10 player in the sport, one of the best hitters in baseball. And I thought it was an interesting answer that he had to give. And basically he said, we don't know if Bryce is going to be that elite guy again. He's getting up there in age. He's 33 now. And he even compared him to Freddie Freeman, talking about how, you know, Freddie Freeman, who was once an elite player, is now, you know, a consistent all-star player. And that's kind of how things evolve at times with these stars. And if you're able to, you know, continue to be an all-star level player, that's a good thing. But he doesn't know if he's going to get to that elite level ever again like he has in years past. And I was a bit taken back when Dave said that, because I feel like that's not something you typically say about your franchise guy, about your star. And for him to get up there and vocalize that and basically say that they're unsure what Bryce is going to look like from here on out, I don't think that is what the fan base kind of wants to hear about their star, especially after a disappointing postseason from him. And look, he still has some incredible postseason numbers as a Philly, and is one of the great postseason performers that we've seen. But I don't know if we're going to see the Bryce Harper that we saw, you know, in 2022, in 2023, in the postseason again. But it was a little surprising to hear Dave Dombrowski sort of talk about that. And Rob Thompson, when he got up there for his press conference, he was, of course, asked about this as well. And he just talking about how Bryce will be, you know, very motivated this offseason to become that player once again, and that he dealt with the wrist things this year, but that he's healthy now, and he expects him to have, you know, a very important offseason. And if Bryce can get back to what he was, say, 2023, 2022, then this lineup changes completely. And it's definitely, it was eye-opening, those comments. And it's something that's not fun to think about. You don't want to see your star player sort of lose his cape. But, you know, that might be the reality of the situation. Hey, if Kyle Schwarber isn't here next year, who knows who comes in? But at the same time, like, there's no hiding Bryce Harper in that lineup really anymore if he's not going to be as effective as, you know, a potential top 10, top 15 player in baseball. So it's part of the game. It's part of getting older. Father Time, they say, is undefeated, but was definitely taken aback a little bit by Dave Dombrowski talking about Bryce in that way. And maybe it's just something to challenge him. Maybe it's something to, you know, get him motivated for the offseason, but it did feel like a little more than that. So I'm interested to see, once that gets back to Bryce, obviously I'm sure it already has, how he responds and what his thoughts are on that going into the offseason. And, you know, if he was happy that Dave Dombrowski said that. It seems like he's had a great relationship with him since he's taken over as president of baseball operations of the Phillies. And I don't know. It just seemed like an oddly timed comment. So thought that was interesting with the Bryce stuff. Something that was also very apparent with another player that's on a big contract on this team is Nick Castellanos. Nick Castellanos is not going to be a Philly next year. That has become very apparent. When Dave Dombrowski was asked about Nick, he basically said that, you know, he was unsure at this time what the plans were going to be with him. And it's weird to say that for a guy under contract. Typically, you say he's still under contract for another year. He will be with the team. And then later in Matt Gelb's article in The Athletic, he basically said that sources said that he expects to be Nick Castellanos to be traded or released this offseason, depending on the market that's out there for him. So that's not surprising to me. The way that he riffed with Rob Thompson and that he riffed sort of with the plan headed down the stretch of the season with the platoon situation, not a shocking thing to see that Nick Castellanos is probably not going to be a part of this team next year. And I think it is time to move on from him. It's just a relationship that's kind of grown cold, I would say, over the past year or so. And it is a shame because the guy that they signed in Nick Castellanos, if he was that hitter in Cincinnati that, you know, was arguably an MVP candidate in 2021, who knows how different this lineup could have been over the past couple of postseasons. And I know he had some big hits, but if you look at the larger body of work from Nick Castellanos over the past couple of years, you know, it's not great. And the OPS this year, I think between like June and August, was in the 500s, which is just completely unacceptable for an everyday player. And the sooner that they can, you know, move on from Nick and get Justin Crawford up here and get him some reps out in the outfield, and we'll see what happens with Harrison Bader as well, I think that it's ultimately better for the team and that it's going to be something where it'll be beneficial next year that they're able to bring in some of the young talent up and be able to, you know, see what they have. And so Nick Castellanos, definitely not expected to be on the Phillies next year, so that is not shocking at all. He, of course, got into the free agents a little bit as well. Schwarber, JT, Ranger, Bader. With Schwarber, I mean, the rumor is right now that he wants a five-year deal, man. And for a 33-year-old DH who, I love him. He had 55 home runs. He's a great player. And if I could just, if you ask me right now, do I want him back or do I not want him back? Obviously, I want Kyle Schwarber back on this team. I think he means a lot to the lineup. I think he means a lot to the clubhouse. But, you know, let's face it. He hasn't had a great couple of last postseasons. And I think that's a factor in it. I think it has to be. And for somebody who has been such a dominant hitter and dominant power hitter over the course of his Phillies tenure, like, he's going to be looking to cash in, and I don't blame him.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore.
Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Like, he's 33 years old. This is the last big contract he's going to get. And I just don't know. It was necessarily in the Phillies' benefit to bring back a 33-year-old DH for 5 years. And it's a question of, do they want to get Bryce off his feet sometimes? If they bring in another free agent, do they want to have the flexibility at the DH spot to be able to, you know, move that around and be able to bring in different players that could maybe fill in that role? So I think the Schwarber thing, it's not as definitive as it was, I think, going into the postseason. And there are some serious questions in terms of, do they want to fill that DH slot with a guy for 5 years who can't really play anywhere else and is making, say, $30 million a year. So I don't know. I'd be hesitant to give him 5 years, $180 million. So it's a question, big one going into the offseason. I think it's one that isn't going to, you know, get resolved quickly. And it was clear that after the Dodgers series, Schwarber was emotional about, you know, staying here and his time in Philadelphia. And, you know, I think he was a guy where he is a proven winner, and I appreciated that about him and his leadership in the clubhouse. He was the vocal leader, but it's a lot to ask for, 5 years for a 33-year-old designated hitter. So those are the thoughts on Schwarber there. JT, it feels like he's back. Like, I would still be really, really surprised if he's not. Just even the way Rob Thompson yesterday talked about how he prepares his pitching staff on a day-in and day-out basis, and that nobody works harder in terms of the video, in terms of the scouting reports, in terms of the in-game adjustments. Like, JT is the best in the business when it comes to that. But again, we're talking about aging stars here. JT is 35. He's never going to be the hitter that he was in, say, you know, 2019, 2020, 2021. And if we're bringing back a guy who is basically there to, you know, be an above-average catcher and be able to handle the pitching staff well, like, I'm not giving him more than 2 or 3 years at, you know, anything more than $10 million. And I think that's probably something where they would mutually agree on something like that. And I wouldn't be too mad if they gave him 3 for $30 million and they gave him the extra year, but it was $10 million. So I think he'll be back. But again, it's another aging star to this core. And who knows what the team looks like next year in terms of their age. And if you want to, you know, get a little younger and bring guys like Crawford up, bring guys like Painter up for the rotation. And again, a lot of that depends on Ranger Suarez too, if they bring him back. And then if Ranger's not there, you bring up Painter, you maybe fast-track Gage Wood next year to see if he can become somebody who could be a factor in the starting staff, then I don't know. Like, you got to find that balance of being able to get younger, but at the same time, they don't have many catching options out there. And, you know, I know he wasn't going to be ready next year, but they traded Eduardo Tait, who was going to be their next, you know, big power catcher there. So they don't have a ton of options in the minors in terms of catchers, and I don't think Rafael Marchand is ready to take that step and become the everyday catcher. So wouldn't be shocked if JT's back, and I think that there's a very good chance he is. And with Ranger right now, feels like he's not back, if I had to, you know, put a pulse on it. And I just think that he's probably going to get a lot of money from somebody, and for somebody who hasn't, you know, really had a full healthy season throughout the past few years, I would expect the Phillies to probably move away off that, especially because of the young pitching that they have in the system. So we'll see how it plays out. I know Ranger does love being here, and he's been here since he was, a little kid, basically 16 years old when he was signed as an international free agent. But if I had, flip a coin or bet on it right now and bet hard-earned money on it, I would say that Ranger Suarez probably is not a Philly next year. So, and the last guy is Bader. I would definitely look to bring Bader back. I really liked what he did for the team this year, both, you know, in the field, offensively, even in the clubhouse as well. I think he is a guy who brings a certain edge to the team that they were kind of lacking. And I think his injury in the playoffs will, you know, it'll go forgotten, but it's something that definitely affected this ball club, because you had to have guys like Kepler starting against left-handed pitching. You had to have Nick Castellanos playing against right-handed pitching. And even like Brandon Marsh, for him to have the role that he did in that five spot with little protection behind him, I think that it was ultimately a detriment to the team. And it's something that was probably a big reason why they ended up getting eliminated. And with Bader, I probably think that he wants to sign somewhere for, you know, at least a couple to 3 years because, I mean, I think he's been on like four teams in the last like 5 years, and it just feels like he's bounced around everywhere since probably like 2022. So if you could get him on a three-year deal, like at, I would say, $35 to $40 million, I think that's kind of the right type of deal for Harrison Bader. And I do like him manning center field every day, and it would be nice when Justin Crawford comes up next year, and I expect Justin Crawford to probably be starting on opening day, to be in one of those corner outfield spots and be somebody who doesn't have to take center field right away. And I think Bader is just so solid out there that even if you don't get the production out of the bat like you did this year, I think that having him as a stabling force out there in center with, you know, the leadership qualities and, you know, the fire that he brings, I think it's well worth a contract like that where you're not paying too much in terms of AAV, but I think you get some really good value there for Harrison Bader. So those are the thoughts that, in terms of the free agents, but a couple other things I took away from the press conference were they really like Otto Kemp, and I like Otto too. I just don't know if he can be a 500 at-bat guy. Like, I understand that he has some positional versatility and that really good against lefties, and heck, he played with a broken kneecap apparently this year and is going to end up getting that cleaned up in the offseason. So good for him, the fact that he was able to, you know, play on that and be a contributor, even though, you know, didn't do a ton in his game two start against the Dodgers. But I thought Otto Kemp had a good year, and I do like the right-handed bat, but not somebody who I really want getting a ton of ABs as the season goes along. So interested to see how they handle that situation this, you know, offseason, and if it affects free agency at all. Like, I really hope that it doesn't. I would still be out pursuing guys like Alex Bregman, like other guys who could potentially play a corner infield spot. So we'll see if that ends up playing a factor in it. Also, I mentioned that there is one new coaching change. The bench coach, Mike Colitri, will now be the field coordinator for the team, which is kind of interesting because it's a new role that they are basically, you know, a lot of, they said 80% of teams have this role, and that it's something that analytically they wanted to add to the club. So he will be the major league field coordinator, and they will be hiring a new bench coach, which I feel like is somewhat interesting because Rob Thompson, obviously back for another year, but do you hire somebody with some managing experience? Do you hire a young guy? Do you hire somebody who's maybe sitting in the wings to become the next manager of the Phillies? And there are some names out there that I think are interesting. David Ross is one that I've seen come up a little bit, and there's some former managers, some young, some old, that, you know, maybe could be the manager in waiting if Rob Thompson, if things don't go well next year. So I think it's going to be interesting to see who they hire and what that process looks like. But new bench coach will be coming to the Phillies next year, and I just think it's interesting to see who exactly they look to target and if that could be a potential next candidate to be the manager of the Phillies. So thought that was something to note there as well. So want to get into the, you know, just the postseason a little bit before I wrap up here. And there's a lot to take away from that press conference yesterday. Again, like I said, it was Dave Dombrowski sat up there for 53 minutes and answered, you know, the media are great, but there were some repetitive questions up there, and some of them you were saying to yourself, all right, it's, we could just get this over with. We understand. They lost. You thought you played a great team, but at the same time, people aren't happy. So that was basically the main takeaway I had from the press conference. But the Dodgers' dominance thing is real. And I watched that game last night. They go up 3-0 on Milwaukee. They just keep coming, man. And Tyler Glasnow has been unbelievable for them. Came out of the bullpen in game one against the Phillies, which is ridiculous. And has pitched just phenomenally for the Dodgers. Yamamoto, who the Phillies actually hit pretty well in game three, he goes 8 innings, 1 run against the Milwaukee Brewers. So just like pure dominance in terms of their starting staff. And it is interesting because you look at the model of how you're supposed to build a team, and the Phillies have built themselves a great regular season team, one that won 96 games, one that was really fun to watch night in and night out. But the Dodgers, while they weren't healthy all year and they were looking to get these guys back and they were slow tracking them, hey, Sasaki didn't pitch for, 5 months and then goes to the minors, struggles, and now he's coming out of the bullpen throwing 100 with a ridiculous split. And they find a way to put it all together at the same time or at the right time. And so now you get this just juggernaut that's taken a Milwaukee Brewers team who was the best team pretty much in all of baseball for most of the year, and is just wiping the floor with them. And they're making the Brewers lose at their own game. Like, they're making the Brewers make mistakes. They're making them play uncharacteristic. They're not putting the ball in play like they have all year. And it's just really impressive to see what the Dodgers are doing right now. And ultimately, I do believe they're going to win the World Series, whether they play Toronto, whether they play Seattle. And if they do win the World Series, selfishly, I'll be like, maybe feel a little better just because of the way the Phillies went out to them and the fact they were in every game and pretty much could have won every single game. But it does go to show you that regular season success matters to an extent, but when the postseason comes, if you don't have dudes and you don't have a starting staff like that and you don't have guys coming out of the bullpen who can throw 100 with split, with, you know, starting experience, then it's going to be tough to win. And you're seeing that, I think, right now on the National League side of the bracket. So that's kind of my thoughts on the Dodgers thing for the postseason. But also have some early names to look out for in terms of free agency. I know we're already talking free agency. The deals are, or the names are already flowing, the ideas. And so a couple of early names to watch. I know Pete Alonso is being mentioned a bunch. I'm interested to see if Bryce would move back to the outfield potentially. It felt like that was more of a trade deadline scenario in terms of it being temporary. I mean, he is a Gold Glove finalist this year, which is pretty incredible. And I think that he probably is going to stick at first base. But there are some corner infielders there like Alonso, like Cody Bellinger, who had a really good year for the Yankees, who can play the outfield, can play first base, has some versatility there. And maybe that's the route they look to go down, having that positional versatility. And it's why they like a guy like Otto Kemp. So I think Bellinger is definitely a name to watch there. If they move off of Bohm, I think Bregman is the guy you have to get, though. And I talked last year on this podcast about how much I was a fan of Alex Bregman, how he brings a winning culture. And almost like Kyle Schwarber, he does have that sort of, you know, winning cachet to him. And I think he'd fit in this lineup really well, that right-handed bat would. And I understand that he's another aging veteran. He's a guy that doesn't help the youth of this team necessarily. But at least while Aiden Miller is waiting in the wings, I think getting an Alex Bregman here would be really interesting as well. And a couple other guys, Murakami from Japan, you know, maybe they finally dip into that market. He's a first baseman. But again, if they don't bring back Kyle Schwarber, that DH spot kind of comes open for you. So if they lose Schwarber, that's a name to watch, as well as, you know, Gino Suarez, who they were looking at the deadline, and Bo Bichette, who had a really good year for Toronto there as well. Maybe they look to shift the middle infield a bit. Maybe they look to move off of Bryson Stott, and there are some options there. So just some early circulating in terms of my brain and what we're thinking about in terms of free agency. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Long off season ahead. We'll be sure to cover all the free agent stuff, everything offseason related. So be sure to stay tuned for that. So for Phillies Today, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good one, everyone. I'll see you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.